Thank you. A lot of people on the call, but I'm a minute late. I was involved in writing some things here, and I kind of lost track. So great to be here. I hope everyone, let me just look here. It looks like I'm coming through fine. So, excuse me. Wow, I got a little tickle in my throat, so, and I don't have a cough button. I'll try to get my phone here so I can mute it. Anyway, lots of things going on. I want to go through this fairly quickly and just go through some thoughts and ideas and where you want to be. One of the things that I want to try to encourage you and talk to you about is just to encourage you and to say, you know, I would hope that the vast majority of you and that listen to this, not on this call, because there will be 10,000 people yet that will listen to this or more. And, you know, I would just encourage you and thank you. And I want to just mention to you that you've got to be so appreciative. You know, we've had a lot of volatility, and we've got, you know, I had a guy call me last week who is a friend, not a good friend, but a pretty good friend. I mean, we talk and email and text back and forth a little bit. He lives in New York City. He's on Wall Street, and he is an equity trader for a very large investment banking and Wall Street firm. And, you know, he said to me last week that he's just bleeding clients. They're just, it's just killing them because everybody's going, so many people have gone into cash. And I say, well, it's a shame for them, and I suspect that they're all a little bit disappointed right now. But right now, the market's doing very good today, and the economy is strong. The biggest thing about the markets this week, and the markets today in particular, is what it is telling us about the economy. And, you know, oftentimes we have lived 8 years through administration that from 2008 to, you know, 2016, you know, we lived through this period of time when the markets were just telling us what markets and stocks were doing. The picture of the economy being good was not there, and it was never there. And it was one of my pet peeves. Very much the opposite today. We are seeing so much. Now, we have more negativity in the mainstream media than we've ever had. Right now, the markets are reacting. We got a huge jump. I reported it as it broke this morning while I was on the air. Markets were on positive territory. I said it looks like there is something just crossed my ticker, and it said that Lighthizer, U.S. trade representatives and China trade representatives have indicated that there is they have reached agreement on a partial deal. And that, I said, will likely sent the market higher, and it did by about 0.5% within an hour. And it still is in record territory. The S&P right now is about 3 points away from an all-time record high. If it can stay there, if it can close there, we'll see. But we could have record highs as the markets continue to see enthusiasm and buyers coming in. So that is good news for the markets. But primarily due to U.S.-China trade and Amazon. That's what most would say. I agree with that. I think that's a big part of it. But I want to talk a little bit about what is happening. U.S.-China trade is telling us, telling traders, telling Wall Street, telling the markets that we are on our way, that China has reached a point where they can no longer go. Now, I've been saying this for some time, in the air as I've been talking about China. I was saying this is it. I've been talking about their ports, their shipping, their lack thereof, imports and exports, the only thing we really have a handle on, and we can judge by that what is happening. We can be looking at oil demand. Oil demand has been telling us what is going on, telling us a lot about the global market and the market here in the U.S. So we watch that very closely. And we're watching inflows and outflows out of equities into treasuries, out of bond funds into treasuries, and what that tells us and where that inflows are coming from. And a ton of it is coming internationally. It's not coming from here in the United States, but we can draw a lot of conclusions from that. So last time I had a conference call, I said there was going to be an alert. I had some concerns. I was waiting for some economic data. All of the economic data, I feel like one of those analysts that I criticize sometimes because they never get it right. And I really got it wrong. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure whether I got sucked into some of the negative media. Lord, I hope not. I really mean that. I hope not. I try to stay away from all of that and continue to do my work and keep my nose to the grindstone and stop listening to all of this. But nonetheless, there was some economic data that came out that I was expecting to be very bad. Some of it was bad, but there wasn't a correlating number to go along with it. So it became to me some of the bad that we did get that I was waiting for ended up being outliers. In other words, they didn't impact the overall concern that I was having for the overall market. And I'm not talking about economy now and in the market. And I was afraid that concern, that negativity that I was feeling about the markets was going to impact the economy eventually in a negative way. And I was trying to think of ways to prepare for that. Anyway, the numbers came in, and most of them weren't half as bad as I thought they would be. But more importantly, the ones that were really bad, they were outliers, because you can't have some of these numbers being really bad by themselves. There has to be some other numbers that correlate to, in other words, that have to be bad in order for them to be bad. And if the numbers that I'm watching are really bad and there's no correlating numbers that would agree with or drove this number to being bad, then it really becomes somewhat meaningless and somewhat of an outlier and something not to be concerned about in a huge, huge way. But let me just tell you two things that have happened today: U.S.-China trade and Amazon. U.S.-China trade and Amazon. And one of the things that we look at with U.S.-China trade and Amazon is that we've got to I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my phone. Got to try to fix it here. We got to, we still here? Yes. When we look at U.S.-China trade, here's what it's telling the markets. It's telling the markets that progress is being made. China is cried uncle. They've given up. They understand that their economy is going to get deeper and deeper. They have come to the realization that President Trump's been talking about, I've been talking about, and some others, that market share and supply chain is dwindling to nothing. I believe they've come to the realization, and so do a lot of other people on Wall Street, believe they've come to the realization that it's gone forever. And it's going to be very difficult to regain it. They are coming to the realization that they have shot themselves in the foot by holding out so long. And the very reason that I said a year ago that this is going to be over fairly quick because China cannot afford to lose market share, I was wrong about that, they didn't realize until now. And they're just now starting to come to that. At the same time, they've got unrest in the South China Sea. They've got that they have militarized. And we're hearing now about secret meetings and concerns from Vietnam. They have come to the conclusion that the unrest in Hong Kong is going to have to be dealt with, and it's not going to be pretty. They once again, like trade, made a major tactical error, and they didn't solve the problem right away when they had the chance. Now the protests have gotten out of hand. They've solved the problem. They did away with the extradition law that they were originally protesting, and now protesting has turned into a totally different thing, and now they're realizing, the protesters, how much strength they have. That's a huge problem. China is going to have to deal with that very swiftly, and they're going to have to deal with it in a very, very brutal way, in all likelihood. They need America on their side. They can't afford to make relations any worse. They don't want America on their side. They don't care about America other than money that they need. So they're really walking a tightrope now because of unrest starting to happen. They're worried about Taiwan. They're worried about other areas of the world. And it is a huge concern. But here's the thing. All of that has come to the realization of the markets and the economy. People here in America are gaining confidence and sentiment because of U.S.-China trade, small deal, phases of a deal, may be getting put to rest. And that is showing that it's likely the progress is going to continue to flow. It also is going to open up the Eurozone for more progress, not just from us, but in other areas of trade. That's going to be good for the Eurozone at a time when Eurozone's already beginning to see some stabilization. This is going to add to that, help that along a little bit. That makes America markets feel very good because their economy over there is beginning to stabilize. The other thing is Amazon. Amazon was huge, and I believe that Amazon and Intel, I forgot about Intel, Amazon and Intel today have had a bigger impact on anything in the markets that we can imagine. And here's why. Intel is showing us that the chip sector is strong, alive, and well. Intel, of all companies. I know some of you own chip stocks that have been on the buy list from time to time. You're going to be very happy maybe by the end of the day. But Intel is showing growth. That China is not impacting Intel. Amazon, the thing about the Amazon's numbers, forget about all their numbers totally, their earnings numbers, all of that is a moot point right now because of their sales. Their sales numbers were amazing. And what that did and what that is going to do moving forward into the markets and the economy now, into the economy, is it is confirmation that it's not just conservative think tanks, people like me, or Republican politicians that are saying consumer sentiment is a lot stronger than everybody thinks, or consumer sentiment is still good. That is confirmation on consumer sentiment. That's what that is. And right now, analysts are looking and saying, wow, consumers are feeling really good. More importantly, it's going to start through the weekend and next week for businesses to say, wait a minute, we need to rethink our strategy moving forward for the end of this quarter and 2020. We need to rethink if we developed over the last 3 months, if we have begun to develop a strategy of slowing down, we need to rethink that. So you know how concerned I've been about business sentiment. And what is happening today is negative business sentiment is slamming on the brakes. Nobody's talking about it. We can't quantify it. It's not measurable, but trust me, business sentiment is slamming on the brakes. The absolute worst case scenario is that it stays right here where it is, which is not a bad thing. But that's the worst case scenario. And I would submit that right now, from what we're seeing, all because of U.S.-China trade, Amazon and Intel, that business sentiment is rethinking their position. Now, we're not going to know this until the beginning of next month. We start seeing NFIB numbers and some other numbers to get a good feel for that. And what I'm hoping for is at the beginning of next month, by the second week of November, that we begin to see CapEx spending start to, I don't care if it picks up, but stabilize, even if it stays where it is. CapEx, that's going to be very, very good for the economy and obviously for the markets. So we're first of all, the earnings season that we're having as of the end of the day yesterday and still into today is nothing short of just plain old embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the Democrats. It's embarrassing for every liberal analyst out there. It's embarrassing for Wall Street. It's embarrassing. It's once again, I mean, the guys that are doing analytics and the sentiment on analytics on earnings are beginning to look like rating agencies. They are becoming irrelevant. They are painting themselves into this irrelevant corner, and nobody's ever going to say their name, and they're never going to see their name up in lights again. So it is, that is starting to take hold. And I think fourth quarter earnings will be softer than this quarter, no doubt about it, because that cake is kind of already baked. But that's going to happen. But this is all about Amazon China and Intel. And remember, this last 6 weeks, we've had very low trading volume. And on average, we've had very, very low trade volume. But it hasn't been moving. In other words, people, it's not low trading volume in equities. It's low. It's better put by saying money isn't moving. Not going into bonds, not going into treasuries, not going into equities, not going international. It's really not moving. The volume has slowed. That's a very good thing. It's a breather. Everybody's taking a breather. Everybody's taking a wait and see attitude. And if that's the case, if I'm right about that, the wait and see attitude that they're taking, they're now seeing. They're done waiting. They're seeing some things start to take place. And I think earnings from this point on through next week are only going to be better. So all of this is good news for us. Do you jump in hog wild to the markets? I hope everybody listening is already in the markets. If you are, good. You did good. You're doing great. It's fine. Am I changing my cash position? No, I am not. Am I still maintaining my strategy of caution? Yes, I am. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. The other thing I want to mention is one of my concerns, as you know, has been the financial sector, banking and shadow banking. I will say to you, it hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, I would go so far to say, even after sounding very optimistic here, that the banking systems, I'm not going to say banking because it sounds like I'm talking about banks. And I shouldn't use the word banks or banking because it gets you thinking about one specific thing, and that's not what I'm talking about. But the financial system, these are, for lack of better, organizations and governments that are heavily involved in borrowing, lending, spending, trading different derivatives, different instruments. Shadow banking is insurance companies, annuity companies, all kinds of insurance, including property casualty, life insurance, those kinds of things. Real estate investment trust, they become kind of a shadow banking system. Corporate bonds, junk bonds, all of that is financial sector that is in a great deal of debt, is in a great, great deal of dependency upon certain things happening, is not capitalized well, has a lot of uncertainty, has international exposure that is unhealthy, has international debt that is more unhealthy than anything else they've got going on, that is dependent upon in the financial system, dependent upon too many things working perfectly. Too many things working perfectly. Right now, there are people like you, there are farmers, there are industrialists, there are people, there are situations where we are running tractors, running cars, running machinery, manufacturing, transporting, doing things. I'm using this as an example of things that are less than perfect. You might have a car that has a bad alternator, and every once in a while your battery is going dead because you're just not driving long enough for your alternator to charge your battery fully. But you're getting by and you're still driving, and yes, it's an inconvenience, but you're still driving. But if your starter goes, you're not going to be able to start the car or the tractor. You can, but you're going to have to do some other kind of workaround. We are living in a financial sector where if one of the main aspects that is part of what they do goes bad, they can't keep driving. It's that everything they're doing is a transmission. They're driving a car with four transmissions, and if any one of them goes, it ain't moving. And that's why I'm still concerned about the financial sector, because of what they're dependent upon. The financial sector made a very good argument. Some big people in the financial sector made a very good argument. Last night I was on a conference call. Now, I would love to hear that same conference call tonight because it would be very different. But last night was a conference call of mostly all just Wall Streeter and financial folks. And I didn't participate. I sat there and listened. And every thing I heard, it was going through my mind, well, that's great, but you don't have any capital, and if that transmission stops working, you're toast. And I heard one thing after another that was like that. Oh, we have exposure internationally. We are a little bit more exposed to France and Italy than we would like, and we have got some bonds in Portugal and Spain that are high dividend paying, but you know we have those, and we have these bonds that we finance for Puerto Rico that are paying us 4.5%. And let me tell you, if any one of those things go wrong, it creates a domino effect that they aren't going to be able to escape from. And that's why I'm worried about it. Now, having said that, am I as concerned about it as I was last conference call? No, because of all the other things that I've already talked about. So those things don't directly, but they indirectly allow the financial system to survive in other words, I'm going back to the transmission analogy, they now will be able, the whole transmission might not blow up, but they might only have first and second gear. So they can still move. So that when the economy and everything else gets around them, it'll help them a little bit, And in the case, in the place that we are now, as far as I'm concerned, it's not really helping them get better. It's not helping them become stronger. It's not helping them become more diversified. It's not helping them get out from under some of the junk that they have. It's not helping that. It's just going to help other areas of cash flow and sentiment long enough to keep them going for a little while longer. So I am not as immediately concerned about the financial sector, because some of the things that would have taken away some of their ability to generate free cash flow could have been gone, or might have been, oh, I thought was going away. And that's some of the economic data that I was surprised about when I got that I got last month. So I am concerned. I am still going to be very, very cautious about financials that are on my buy list. Extremely cautious about where we are. That goes for REITs, preferreds, and insurance companies, all the other financials. Last night I came across a wonderful preferred. I can't do it. I thought about it. I looked deeper and deeper. I got tired. I went in back in this morning, looked at it. I can't put it on my list. Not yet. I've been following it for 7 quarters. This quarter will be my eighth. I usually make a decision to put something on my broad list after 6 quarters, and I got to keep going with it, because I'm just it's in that financial sector, and I have new concerns about it. Here's the downside of that: all that's going to hurt our income. It's going to make it more difficult for us to get income. The other big thing, as I've already mentioned, is business sentiment. And here's what's going to start happening next week. Business sentiment is starting to get better. I believe it's going to get better. And I believe it's going to finally see mainstream media for the fools that they are. I think they're finally going to see through mainstream media as, you know, this is nothing more than trying to create a recession. And I think they're going to start turning. And I think that's a really, really good thing. The other thing that we've seen this week is the possibility of other trade deals. That's going to start entering into next week. If the Department of Commerce was smart, they would come out Monday or Tuesday. I'll say Tuesday, Monday, get a chance to put a little meat on the bone as to what's happening with U.S. and China. But they would come out Tuesday or Wednesday and say, look, we have solidified another part of a deal with Japan. We are talking to Germany, and we're working on trade. Not just say it, but really be doing it. We're working on auto parts and automobiles, and that's our key area of focus right now with Germany, and we're going to work on that. And we are talking to Brazil about some joint ventures in oil and agriculture things. I'm just making stuff up, but they're two things that they do pretty well. So I think if the Department of Commerce was smart, they would do that. And I think the key now is what I'm going to be watching for. Oh, the other thing is, it is becoming, and I think this is having a big impact. I'm telling you, it's having a big impact on the economy and on the markets. Sentiment both by consumer and of businesses. It is looking more and more inevitable that President Trump is going to get reelected. I don't like to talk about that on the air because I'm too afraid of conservative evangelical Christians getting complacent and not voting. So I don't like to beat that up too much over the air, but it's almost inevitable. I saw a poll from a financial firm said it's a 92% likelihood that Trump's going to get elected. 92%. I mean, that's ridiculous. that's going to make everybody feel very good about the future of the economy. Very good about the fact that President Trump's not going to let a recession happen. He's going to do whatever he's got to do. So I think all of those things has gotten me a little bit more optimistic than I've been in the last 12 months. And so I'm happy about that. We still have, you know, a lot of things to look at. We got a lot of earnings to report. We've got, a number. Next week is a very much a data-driven week, and so will the following week be, and we'll have to see how all that shakes out. All of my optimism can go right down the drain tomorrow with one tweet, one geopolitical event, ten protesters in Hong Kong getting killed. It can be a number of things can change this. I don't know how many of you saw this. I don't know if it was on Twitter. I had it in my newsletter last week. I don't know if you saw the article that was in there from Reuters. I think it was Reuters. I probably should say that because I'm not sure. But you saw that article. And it was satellite pictures of the deep water port that China has completed. This is another port so that they can construct aircraft carriers. They're spending three times more than they did. You saw my article in the newsletter. I got a lot of comments about it, so I know you saw it, of how most said insightful. I don't like to say that, but it might have been. But I really feel confident that I'm right on that. Read that article again if you haven't read it. If you're not concerned by it, you should be. Now, you can blow it off and say, that's not even close. That's not going to happen. You can blow it off if you want. I had somebody, maybe on this call, I don't know, I had somebody write me an interesting email yesterday. It was a very long email, critical of a couple of things and complimenting on a couple of things. It seemed like a person that was very supportive of the ministry, but didn't support some of my positions, some of the things I've said. I never say this, and I never will. 3 weeks ago, somebody said I need to. I'm not going to. But I did say it to this person in an email back, and I told him just one little thing that transpired between me and three other men that you might know, or some of you would know at least one of them, that are influential in Washington, that I had a chance to have a very lengthy conversation with. We talked about U.S.-China trade. We talked about China military. We talked about Syria. We talked about ISIS, and we talked about Israel. We talked about all those things in great detail. I have opportunities to do that on a regular basis. I will never, ever talk about it on the air. I will never have those men on the air, because they will come on the air because I've asked them, not because they want to. They're only going to tell a quarter of a story, not the whole story. But I can't afford, and I won't put at risk my friendships with some of them by appearing as though that I am sensationalizing my conversations and who I know and who I've been able to talk to. And I will tell you that it goes on every single month. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've picked up the phone and talked to somebody in D.C. usually that has given me great, great insight. And I say that to you, so don't think that I'm thinking, wow, how's he so smart? How's he know all this? I'm not that smart. I'm just smart enough to hold my friends and people I know very close to me and very close to my vest. I don't need to ride on the back of any of that to generate donations to the ministry. And when I start needing that, I'm done. I'm getting out. I'm not going to do it. Because God then is saying, you're on your own. I'm not helping you anymore to support the work you're doing. You can't even begin to imagine how much credibility I have with the people that I talk to. And I would submit to you, I know, I'm not making an assumption. I have more credibility with the same, with the people I talk to than the people that you would say to me, oh yeah, I've seen them here, there, or the other place talking to so-and-so in ministry. And yeah, they're good friends with that person. You have no idea the credibility or the conversations, the credibility of the conversations those other people have with the same people don't have. I'm not saying they're bad, they're untruthful, or they're wrong, but they will never, ever, unless they change, they will never be able to glean the same kind of information that I will. And I hope all of you understand that, because I stress every day about feeling arrogant or, you know, cocky about information that I have. I am not. I am humbled over the people that are willing to sit and talk to me or take my phone call, just so that I can ask them maybe a very obvious question, but that I'm asking the obvious question just because I know I'll get a not so obvious answer. And many of you, is this maybe this person that wrote me yesterday, many of you don't believe that I do that for the good of just you, my listeners and God's people, and for the kingdom. The reason you have to believe it, and you can say you don't believe it, is because I'm not doing anything to exploit that to get donations or get people to come alongside the ministry. So you know, I hope that our ministry gains credibility with you, just like our ministry has gained credibility with so many people. So I say all that to tell you to keep a close ear to the street of financial issues. I don't know if 10, 15 years from now, that who's ever behind the microphone a lot more than I am at financial issues, that show is going to be able to gain that same kind of help. I don't know. I think probably not. But the other side of it is most of the men and women that I'm talking to are older than me, still very active, and still the two of the three men that I talked to were not older than me, but they're, some would say they're old. So maybe it doesn't matter because they'll be gone. But my goal is to take advantage of it while we can, to use it while I can for the good of the kingdom, for the good of all our followers. So I ask you to keep a close ear to the ministry, to what we say and what we do. Understand that it's not just me. It's not Dan Celia. God has given me amazing insight. I found something and talked about and looked into and prayed over some between-the-line stories today that I was blown away and absolutely amazed. And as I was driving my truck down the road this morning to go to the studio, I could not stop thanking God for the insight. I wasn't driving down the road saying, wow, Dan, you're pretty smart. I'm not smart. I'm just trying to be faithful and obedient. And man, God is blessing that. So that's what I want to share with everybody and share that. I say that because it's a little bit frustrating, but it's very understandable, and don't get me wrong, that I would get an email like I got yesterday because they don't know. You know, people don't know, and I get that. I understand it. So I don't get angry over it. I didn't write this person back in any kind. I hope he didn't hear any frustration or anger in my voice. I wasn't at all. I get it. But I tried it. Maybe I gave him a little comfort in saying that I'm, you know, it's not just me. I'm not in this alone. You know, I have ways of formulating opinions. I'm not just an opinionated person that is opinionated from off my cuff, you know, and I'm just going to, well, yeah, I got an opinion about that. It's insane. And, you know, I think that it's just not who I am. I'm too analytical for that. I just, you know, I'm too fearful of doing that. So U.S.-China trade, Amazon, Intel, low volume, business sentiment, consumer confidence, confirmation of consumer confidence. This is going to be an unbelievable retail year this Christmas. I feel confident enough to go on record to say it's going to be a record-breaking consumer spending Christmas. Now, unfortunately, for all the great big box retailers, unfortunately, the majority of it's going to be on Amazon and Walmart.com. So the majority of it is not going to be from walking through the stores. But it's still money spent and money going into the economy. And I want to get to a place, and I think we could be there by January, where we're at a place where the underlying fundamentals, remember how 6 months ago, I was saying the underlying fundamentals of this economy are still amazing. I want to get back to being able to say the underlying fundamentals of this economy are amazing and nothing's going to stop it. But keep in mind, we live in an incredibly divisive time that I never thought we'd ever see again, in a divisiveness that is unparalleled. We'd have to go back to the Civil War to see divisiveness like we're experiencing right now. And with that divisiveness comes a spirit of hate like we have never seen. I'll quote Dr. Michael Brown and say we're seeing a spirit of Jezebel in every walk of life, in Wall Street, in Main Street, in business, in consumers, in church, in our walk with Christ, in our friendships, in our relationships. We're seeing a spirit that is something that we've never seen before. And with that comes uncertainty and black swans. Black swan events, things that can't be anticipated, things that, you know, come out of the blue. We are living in times where we are going to see more and more of that. I don't care who I talk to, how many people I talk to, and how much work I do. It's called a black swan event because it can't be seen. It comes out of nowhere. And I think we are entering times, but we cannot live our life in that fear. We got to live our life in the fear of the Lord. We got to live as if the Lord's coming back today, and we've got to plan as if it's going to be 100 years from now. And we have to be, if we've never been before, we have to be positioned in a defensive posture, willing to defend our families, to defend our freedoms, to defend our country, and to defend, most importantly, to defend our rights to worship the one and only true God and spread the word of our Lord and Savior, even if it's a fear of death. We have to be ready to stand fearless against that. And what comes out of this divisiveness, only God knows. But it's either going to bring our entire nation to our knees. You know what I pray? You know the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I pray every day that today would be the day, Lord, where your name would be hallowed throughout the world. And a couple days ago, I was praying and I was naming that your name would be hallowed. And I was naming countries and parts of the world that I didn't know I remembered. But I just was rattling off names. But I pray every day that, Father, before I start praying, would today be the day that your name would be hallowed, that your name would be sacred among everybody that I see in the traffic and the cars and the streets, that it would be hallowed. Maybe would this be the day? And so maybe all of this is intended to bring us to our knees and to repentance and revival. I don't know, but we can't plan for that. We got to live our life that we're going to be in that battle and in that fight and in that war. But we've got to be prepared to be in that fight and in that battle and in the world war and keep doing it. So, folks, I'm optimistic. I feel good about your portfolios. I don't know about you. I have a very, very, very well-diversified portfolios, all very diversified. And I can tell you, none of this, and I mean this, none of this has impacted my portfolios. None of it has impacted my portfolios. I mean, it is just amazing to see what has happened. When I look at my institutional portfolios, I'm up 31% yesterday in one of them, and 22% my one with the larger position. And it hasn't really moved. It's been like that all year long because of diversification. And I know that all of you are going to experience the same thing. Some of you already have. You tell me about it every day. But some of you haven't yet. And it's not because those that are experiencing are not because they became a partner and invested all their money in stuff that I have on my website. That's not why. It's because they did it 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. That's why. I want you to draw encouragement from that. You heard me answer a question today on the air. Somebody asked me about a stock. And I went and rattled on. Well, it's up, you know, all what it was up over the year to date and over 12 months, over 3 years, over 5 years. I mean, they were astronomical numbers. And he said, should he keep waiting? It's down. Well, you can't. I mean, right away I knew that he hasn't owned the stock very long. That's why I rattled off the numbers. I mean, it was very obvious. So what do you wait? Are you that impatient? Are you looking at it every day? If you are, then you're never going to benefit from being a partner. Because in a year from now, you become a partner this year. Next year, you're going to say, oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm getting rid of this. I'm not. Why am I paying a whole $85 for this? I'm not doing this anymore. That's what you're going to do. You're going to miss the sales. You're going to miss the great buys. You're going to miss the hand-holding. You're going to miss everything. According to our survey, 82% of you are managing your portfolio on your own and are glad you're doing it. Man, that is awesome. I know you're going to do good because you're being biblically responsible and God's going to bless it. So I would pray, I thank you, keep supporting the ministry so we can stay around. So we're doing some great kingdom work. That blesses the ministry. That blesses you indirectly and directly. It blesses everything we do. It gives us wisdom. It gives us discernment. And we're going to keep doing so many things that are going to bring blessing. Anyway, thank you for all the support you do. Keep praying for us. How can I ever be discouraged one day, and I do get discouraged, how can I ever be discouraged one day when I know as sure as I wake up in the morning, assuming I went to sleep, as soon as I wake up in the morning, I know that there are probably, I don't, I 10, 20, 30, 50,000 people that the Lord is going to call our ministry to their mind and heart, and they're going to pray for us. How can I be discouraged? It's amazing. But if I have wisdom, if I've helped you, it's because of those prayers. So keep praying for us. We've got another conference call meeting. Obviously, something breaks, something's very newsworthy. We will have another conference call if that happens. If there's any change in strategy, keep watching. We are going to start. We are working on building our buy list and continuing to build our buy list, take things off, add things on. So stay tuned. Keep watching. Stay on the website. Spread the news. FISM News. I hope you're sharing that on Twitter. I hope you're following that on Twitter. That is just a tiny, tiny, tiny little piece. I had somebody very critical of our news, and I was like, man, we just launched. We just launched on Twitter. We're just getting it cranked up. If somebody wants to give us $7 or $8 million, man, don't worry. We'll come out of the chute exactly like you want us to be and we want to be. But cut us a little slack. We're just getting started. But get following it and tell your friends about it. And if you're a millennial, if you're a young person, man, tell them about it. They're really going to enjoy it because it's, you know, they're going to get some news in a short kind of form. But we're building. It's a building. You're seeing one cornerstone. We got at least three more cornerstones, and then a whole lot of other stones to lay on the foundation. So we're really looking forward to it. Excited about that and so many other things. So stay with us. Keep praying. We sure do appreciate you. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon. I'll see you on